Malcolm Ross of Joseph K, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
The Catskill Food Pantry is located in the Parish Hall of St. Luke's Episcopal Church at 50 William Street in Catskill. The pantry is open to the public every Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. Healthy food is a right. For more information, please feel welcome to visit the pantry. Call us at 551-299-2456. Check the website at catskillfoodpantry.org or connect with us on Facebook at Catskill Food Pantry.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hawkeye Resilience Advisors, a full-service security, risk, and crisis management company helping local organizations be prepared before, during, and after crises strike. Hawkeye Resilience helps people make plans before something goes wrong. Business resilience promotes community resilience. For more information, visit HawkeyeResilience.com or call 518-573-9183.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Peter Meyer in Hudson, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Joshua Solomon reports in the Times Union that because of New York's new matching campaign contributions, there may be more viable primary election challenges this year. Claire Cousin, for instance, has mounted a primary challenge to Democrat Assemblyperson D.D. Barrett in the 106th District that includes much of Columbia and Dutchess counties. Cousin, a Columbia County supervisor from Hudson, said, and I quote, "It didn't seem doable," end quote, before the new campaign finance law. New York is now giving matching contributions for donations under $250 from donors who live in a candidate's district. Cousin, who also has the backing of the Working Families Party, said, and I quote, "It's sending a clear message that folks like myself have a more fair opportunity to run a competitive race," end quote. Barrett, though, is not participating in the public campaign finance program, which comes with many potentially costly regulations. Working Family Party co-director Jasmine Gripper said, and I quote, "The public financing system really gives us a chance to neutralize the power of big money in our policies and outside influence that has had an oversized presence in our democracy," end quote. Jay Jacobs, the state Democratic Party chair, said the program can, and I quote, "enhance the opportunity for challengers, but the idea behind it was to make the system at least a little bit fairer, and I think it's going to do that," end quote. In Ulster County, an insurgent is coming at an incumbent from the center. Gabby Madden, a former staffer for Assemblyperson Kevin Cahill and State Senator James Scopus, is trying to unseat the first-term Democratic Socialist Assemblywoman Sarah Hannah-Struster. Madden said, and I quote, "I'm relying on the matching funds program. That's what is making me a competitive candidate in this race," end quote. And Struster is also using the program, saying they have shifted to looking for small-dollar financial support from residents in their district. She said, and I quote, "It does make them a little bit more invested in our race. because many people are not necessarily used to the idea of giving money unless they're a political junkie. It's been an interesting experience to see play out in real life, end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Tiffany Greenwald Simon reports for HudsonValley360.com that on March 6, the Hudson Industrial Development Agency approved the sale of an 8.61 parcel of land in Hudson's North Bay to the Columbia Land Conservancy for $1. The sale is subject to a final survey of the property to create the deed. F. Michael Tucker, president and CEO of the Columbia County Economic Development Corporation, said, and I quote, "This was a great opportunity for the Industrial Development Agency to assist Columbia Land Conservancy with its mission in a way that will result in expanded opportunities for Hudson and its visitors," end quote. Since 2011, the Columbia Land Conservancy has proposed that Hudson's North Bay transform into a wetland, forest habitat, and bird sanctuary, as well as a public education and recreation area for city residents. The sale links Charles Williams Park in Hudson to the Greenport Conservation Area. Columbia Land Conservancy President Troy Weldy said, and I quote, "The broader vision is that we can create a regionally significant hiking trail that the high school and running clubs can use. Our goal is to help people in downtown Hudson, kids, anyone of any age, access nature," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Larry Rulison is reporting in the Times Union that developers plan to build warehouses on industrial sites in Furabush in Selkirk in southern Albany County. Both locations are near the I-87 thruway and the CSX train tracks. The Furabush project would be a 114,000-square-foot building, and a 60,000-square-foot facility is being proposed for the River Road in Selkirk. Both projects are going through the site plan approval process with the town of Bethlehem, and both are highly industrialized locations surrounded by rural land. Read more about this story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, March 12th. Local early morning temperatures range from 30 degrees in Tannersville to 37 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 37 degrees. Some of you may not have noticed, but snow totals came in from yesterday. We got 1 inch in Halcott Center and Chatham, and Ankrumdale and Pine Hill got 1.5 inches. With that in mind, let me say congratulations, you have made it. Next couple of days are gonna feel like spring. Today will be sunny, so grab those sunglasses. We get a high of 60 degrees. That's right, 60 degrees at 4 p.m. Have fun cleaning up that yard. Winds will be stiff, but nowhere near as bad as yesterday. Grab a jacket, maybe a hat. 37 degrees overnight takes us into an even warmer Wednesday with a high of 65, with even calmer winds. Overnight, temperatures fall to 42 degrees. Then, Thursday, still dry, mostly. High of 62 degrees. After dark, rain shows up and temperatures drop to 45. Friday, rain all day, chances of thunder in the afternoon, and we get a high of 57. Sunset today will be at 6:45 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:07 a.m. Looking way up, we see Anhadouken released 2 days ago may venture into our planet's neck of the woods. Geomagnetic storm watches are on. X-class flare chances are at 5%. Plasma winds will be average at 432 kilometers per second with an average density of 6 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 15 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 56. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
KZMB, All Zombie Radio.
This next song is from Columbia County-based poet Karen Schomer, who's also a member of the Jaded Azurites with Mike Watt and the Skyfurs with the Burnt Hills folks from Albany. Here in the Field Knots, she's collaborating with Robert Lloyd from the band Typing Test. This is the Field Knots' first song. It's called Mountain.
What do you call the edge of a field? Silver beaded rim. Birch brim. The wind speaks a stretched out syllable. Splayed fingers hold the edge of a page. The mountains are text blocks. I read as I walk. Skimming over red berries. Vine softened trunks. Matted confusion of dead trees. Thrown backwards along the line. Brown with use. Foxed and spotted. The earth is writing. What do you call the edge of a field? A line of is or be. Connects trees, hills, mountains. Half a mile. And is's move synchronously, scroll like snow, flakes enlarge as they swerve toward me. I walk the stretched out word. Flat, unbroken, white, line like a spine, keeps hills, trees, rocks together. The mountains are building up. Quite a speech. The earth is writing, writing.
Here's 2017 local music from Beacon bass performer Will Stratton. The song is called Skating on the Glass from his album Rosewood Almanac.
They took you by surprise, the ways that it had changed. Right behind your eyes, like somehow you'd been framed. That's the new plateau, it said. That's how you learn to see ahead. You'd read the signs when you were just a boy. When you'd get confused by momentary joy. As beautiful as it could be, it took away your will to see ahead. Skating on the glass like it was strong. Impatient to be proven wrong. Impatient to be where you're not. And where you get, you ask what you've got. What you've got. You'd bend the world to your will, or you would learn to be a bang in a wheel in a dignified machine. Now the former is a joke and the latter is a coin. And somewhere in between is where you are, where you left and where you're going.
Thank you.
That was Columbia County's Elvis Perkins with his song from 2020, Sea Monkey.
The first batches of maple syrup were made by Native American tribes in the Northeast. There are endless Native legends about the origin of maple syrup and how the process was discovered. One legend is that the discovery of sugaring was made through cooking, where Natives used sap to cook their foods thinking that it was water. However, sap doesn't evaporate just like water does, and it leaves behind maple syrup. So when the cooks were cleaning up and they noticed a sweet substance, they connected the dots and then began tapping trees. Native Americans thought that the existence of sap within maple trees proved that there was spiritual life. There is an Algonquin tribe, and they have a tale that says that the Mother Earth, Nokomis, was being chased by demons, so she hid in a densely populated maple grove. When the demons saw her disappear into the maple grove, they just assumed that she had died in fire, as the vibrant maple leaves resembled a burning flame. The maple trees essentially saved Mother Earth, so as a reward, she gifted them sweet sap. The methods Native Americans used to collect sap resembles techniques that we use today in America. The Algonquin tribe would make V-shaped incisions into the trunks of maple trees, and then they would stick in reeds and attach it to a clay bucket or a woven basket to collect the sap. And then after the sap was collected, they would leave it out overnight to freeze so that the top layer of the bucket would just be a frozen block of water. Then they could further boil it down to make maple syrup. Today, we have techniques that are variations of these methods. Most farmers will drill holes in trees and then use a plastic bag to collect the sap. Once the sap has been collected, it's then boiled down until it reaches a maple syrup-like consistency. I'm here today with my father, who is an avid sugarer. He taps a few trees in our backyard and boils down the sap to create his own Massachusetts maple syrup. He's researched lots about the perfect supplies and methods to use as a backyard sugarer. So today he's going to speak with us about his journey as a sugarer. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Well, thank you. I am Rich Balaban. I am Maya Balaban's dad. And I am an amateur maple syrup producer.
What inspired you to start sugaring, and why do you still do it today?
Well, about 15 years ago, I saw one of our neighbors putting some taps into his maple trees. I asked him what he was doing, and he told me, and I thought, wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. And I've continued doing it ever since because it's produces a wonderful product.
Talk me through your process of tapping the trees and how you get an end result of the syrup.
I start by getting my portable drill, and I drill a hole into the tree. And if I've done it at the right angle and in the right place, sap will start running right out. I then take my hammer and I tap a tap into the tree. I hook up my apparatus to collect the sap, and I'm all set. And then I set up my little sugaring shack. Got an enormous kitchen grade pot that holds 40 liters or quarts of sap, so I can boil it down. And I have a fire that I can put underneath it, and I'm all set to go.
Mm-hmm. And how did you learn to do all this? Because it's very specific knowledge.
Well, actually, it's surprisingly simple. I did get a book, and I ordered online the supplies, and it came with a book, and it told you step by step what to do. One key thing is knowing when to put the taps in, because in order for the sap to flow, the temperature needs to be below freezing at night and above freezing during the day. If it stays below freezing all night and day, it won't run. And if it stays above freezing all night and day, it won't run either. So it has to be very specific timing.
Yeah. And the challenging part is that if you tap the trees prematurely, I think the trees can get some sort of an infection. So you have to find the perfect time to tap them.
That I wasn't aware of. I didn't know that you could do it too early, but I'll have to do some research and make sure that I'm in no way harming my tree. I only have one big tree in the backyard. It's a silver maple. It's actually not a sugar maple, which means that the sap is not quite as sugary as it would be in a sugar maple. So I have to collect more sap to produce the same amount of syrup as I would from a sugar maple.
Mm-hmm.
But this tree is probably around 80 or 90 years old. It's a huge, beautiful tree. So I wouldn't want to do anything that would in any way imperil the health of the tree.
Yeah. Have you noticed any decline in the tree's health that you tap?
Well, about 10 years ago, I noticed that the leaves came out very late in the season, and I got very nervous as to whether, you know, the tree was unhealthy. So I stopped tapping it for about 2 years to make sure it regained its health.
2 years?
Yeah. I went two seasons without tapping the tree. And then it seemed to come back in full steam. And I've been tapping it ever since. So I don't know if that was just a coincidence and it got better on its own, or if it really did make a difference letting it not, you know, letting it alone for a couple seasons and not tapping it at all.
Mm-hmm. Are there any interesting stories that you have about sugaring that you'd like to share?
Well, I've had a couple of problems along the way. One time, I filled up the huge pot with sap, and it can take, you know, anywhere from 8 to 10 to 12 hours to boil it all down using the propane stove. And I sometimes will go out and do errands, but one day I just forgot all about the fact that I was boiling the sap. And as I came back to the house, I could smell in the air burnt sugar.
Mm.
And I went into the backyard and the big pot was just burned to heck, and the sap had all turned into burnt sugar.
Yeah.
And I ruined the pan and I had to buy a new one.
Yeah. I remember it looked like some form of lava. Like
it
sugaring
did.
Was black and boiling.
You're right. It looked like lava. Yeah. It was pretty sad because it's a beautiful big pot. And it's not inexpensive, but I just chalked it up as an expense of production.
Yeah. Over the years, because you've been, how long have you been sugaring for?
Well, I think probably 15 years, close to 15 yeah. years.
So you're almost a veteran. Have you noticed a change in production over the years as, like, climate change has become more prominent?
Well, that's a great question. I absolutely have. When I started out, I would put the taps in probably in late February or early March, because until then, the temperature was consistently below freezing and the sap wouldn't run.
Mm-hmm.
But last year, I put the taps in late January, and the sap was running almost immediately.
Yeah.
So I think this year I'm probably going to put it in, you know, mid-January. And, you know, otherwise I'll miss a good part of the season. So I've clearly put it in much earlier than I did even 15 years ago, which is a little, you know, remarkable that things have changed so quickly over such a short period of time.
Yeah. Researchers have said that there's going to be an increase in sap production from the trees due to climate change before there's a decrease. So you're probably experiencing the increase right now. And then it'll be a while before the decrease comes, I think like a few decades. Okay, well, thank you for joining me today. This has been fascinating to learn about.
Well, thanks for having me. I love talking about maple syrup.
Here is 2022 local music from Karen Schomer, the Columbia County-based poet and sound artist Peter Taylor. Their album is called Agro Dulce, and they call themselves Karen and Peter. And this song is called Weekend in the Berkshires.
Blueberry denim, cherry wallpaper, across the room, something on the stove sizzles.
Are you coming over after band practice? Are you wearing the green jacket I gave you?
Puff of smoke, creak of a chair. A robin rises from the driveway into the scarlet oak. So faint I can't hear it. Don't drink the water. It's full of lead. Species crash disturbs the unintended garden. No sense of space under there. Just cement on dirt. The weather warm and strange. Sweating no longer cools the body.
All right, here is 2022 new music from U.S. Girls or Us Girls, depending on how you want to pronounce it. The song is called So Typically Now on the radio at 90.7 FM WGXC.
You really need when you're what you really need. Brooklyn's dead, and Kingston's booming, ripping out my roots. What the hell am I doing? I moved upstate, so typically now, I sent you an image, you sent me a thumb down. Traders with loans, they run this show, so you sold off your condo. You're shutting it down, not drugging it out, you always get what you want though. You're under duress, I'm freaking out, yeah, I'm changing my passwords. Gotta sell them all best, to buy more my bliss, see you someday in heaven. You need a time out, ask and you shall receive. When you find out, it's all that you really need.
Columbia County-based poet Karen Schomer fronts the Capital Region-based band Skyfarers. And here is their 2023 new song. It's a cover of The Clean's Point That Thing Somewhere Else from the Dot Dash Mixtape Volume 1. Here is Skyfarers.
Thank you. That was Florist duet for Two Eyes, Florist's latest album, which came out last summer. I still think is definitely one of the best albums of 2022, and something I still listen to, and especially when I'm walking around the Catskills and the Hudson Valley, it always feels like this album captures the mood of the Catskills, at least for me. Last summer, before that album came out, Florist gathered in Palinville on a couch, and I got to Zoom with them. Had a pretty terrific interview that I played last summer, most of it, but there was one specific excerpt that I held back, and it was them talking pretty wonderfully about how they thought they would transform this album, this collection of songs and instrumentals, and, you know, almost like found sounds as well. How they transformed that into live sets. They were excited at the time. They were still working out and rehearsing how all of that would happen. I'm going to play an excerpt from the interview we did with them talking about how they were going to transform some of this music into live sets. You're going to hear four voices in this interview. Florist is, of course, Emily Sprague, Johnny Baker, Rick Spataro, and Felix Walworth.
Yeah, we just started practicing. I mean, we've always approached playing live as trying to be just listen to each other. You know, it's like a lot of the stuff that we've recorded isn't supposed to be recreated exactly live because it's not, you know, the recording. And I think live music feels really good to play when it's about listening to someone and being there live. I mean, it's like the most visceral way of experiencing music, right? So it's like, I think we're just approaching it that way now, where we're stripping some things back, but like making sure there are dynamics present, because I think that's a big thing about the music, is how it has dynamics and like leaves space for quietness and then can also, you know, intensify. And yeah, I think we're learning a bit how to maybe do more with less now, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I think mainly just like playing with each other, you know, just really that's the bottom line, is just to play well with each other and listen to each other.
And I think surprisingly often stuff, like it's not like we're doing like totally stripped down renditions.
Yeah.
Somewhat surprisingly to me, at least, oftentimes the overall mood and the arrangement ends up pretty close to
the recordings. Yeah.
There might not be every layer. Yeah. But we all kind of are like multitaskers in a lot of ways. And we make the best use of that we can.
Yeah. And it's like, hopefully you simultaneously like aren't missing the recording because it is full enough. And at the same time, it's different enough that it's a new and equally as like enjoyable experience the song. Hopefully. Yeah, exactly. That's the goal.
That always seemed more sort of intuitively what feels good and what would be a better show than like having a playing along to like a track or something.
Oh yeah.
Which I totally understand as a technique, but I think it's just not what we want to do.
Yeah.
I think in our live arrangements, like we play with like a bit more abandon than on the recordings too. This record, there was a lot of abandon.
Yeah.
Actually.
Definitely.
Even just on the recordings, but like, you know, there are a lot of parts that we, to this live set that we keep pretty open and unarranged. Like there are like improvised parts that can last anywhere from like 30 seconds to like 3 minutes, depending on how we're feeling about playing with each other at that moment.
Yeah, totally.
That keeps it like, I mean, I hope that also translates, you know, to people as like, you know, sort of like alive and like, you know, vital, but it at least for me, it's so important to have that, like, you know, when we're about to go play these songs, you know, so many times in a row to like have this feeling of possibility every night, like really keeps me like present.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Keep it tight, keep it loose.
Yeah, that's
what
our motto.
We say.
Yeah, that's a hilarious motto.
Yeah.
Cut it and double it.
Cut it and double it.
That was WGXC's Justin Maiman on his Ginger Radio Hour show, speaking with the band Florist, who is based in Palinville or in the Catskills, and is playing at the Storm King Art Center on June 10th. Here's 2022 new music from Chris Panat from Stuyvesant. He plays in The Warp and the Weft, and he also has a solo album called Go, and this is the song Earthshaker.
Nothing less than